Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study. Our Father's Word, how fantastic. Chapter 8 of Proverbs, Wisdom Speaks. She calls. Have you ever heard her? Do you ever listen to her? That's what's important that you do. Wisdom comes from our Father. And we finished with the 17th verse of this 8th chapter where wisdom spoke and said, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Not maybe, not perhaps. You will find her. And wisdom is better than precious metal. Because if you don't have wisdom and you have precious metal, you're not going to keep it long. I guarantee you. Somebody will rip you off for it, or you'll blow it or something. But if you have wisdom, you know how to put it to work. You know how to gain more. That's why wisdom is a treasure. It's something that is very valuable, especially wisdom from our fathers, divine wisdom. And what he said earlier in this chapter is, if you find that knowledge, you will intuitively be able to discern right from wrong when you see it, when it hits you. That's precious, because it keeps you out of trouble. Having said that, let's begin with the 18th verse of chapter 8, the great book of Proverbs, the comparisons in life. That is good, that is bad, and wisdom is speaking. She's calling out. And she says, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. In other words, that is right, and however far you want to go or whatever you seek for, wisdom will get it for you. Because you're wise enough to know how to accumulate it, to earn it, to gain it, and yet be able to sleep good at night. Okay. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. In other words, wisdom is with you forever. No one can take it away from you. It enables you to outsmart Satan, to outthink him in Christ's name and through Christ's word, whereby, gold is a commodity. Wisdom is yours. It's in your mind. It's there. It's precious. And it shows you how to accumulate all those things when you need them. If you don't need them, wisdom would say, what's your hurry? You're doing good. Wisdom discerns and gives you understanding and common sense. Verse 20. I lead in the way, or I walk in the way of righteousness. That's the path of that is right. In the midst of the paths of judgment, judging which is right, which is wrong, which is trouble, which is blessings. That's life, friend, and you need to pick the right path. And if you walk with wisdom, she'll guide you. She'll look out for you. She will help you intuitively know to discern. Verse 21, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. What it's saying here is I have the ability to bless those that protect, that hold me. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Substance being valuable things. In other words, if you follow wisdom, you can guarantee you'll inherit. You'll get what you deserve. Not necessarily to inherit in the way that man might think of inherit, but to earn. I would prefer to say to earn. When you're wise enough to be able to earn for yourself, that's better even than an inheritance. And I'm speaking now of things of the world. But why? Because it's yours. You earned it. You earned it the hard way, maybe. But you were wise enough to be able to do it. And you can just be comfortable with that, you know. And that's my own opinion, be that as it may. There's nothing wrong with an inheritance of properties, but be that as it may. But wisdom has it in her power to be an enabler of treasures, of wealth, even if you would. 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, his path, before his works of old. That means even before the first earth age. This word here, the Lord possessed, probably the Hebrew would even translate created. The Lord created wisdom in the beginning before there was ever a speck that we can call Eretz, or the world, the earth, that is to say. And that wisdom was with him. Here she's crying out to you. Why? Because the Father likes to share. And wisdom will accommodate you in all things, helping you make the proper decisions and so forth. But you would be amiss if you didn't grasp the fact that the works of old means even before the first earth age. Wisdom was with God. And even as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, where God would say, I chose you before the foundations of the world, that being the first earth age, even before that, wisdom was with God. 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. At the outset of the ages, I was there. That's how precious and valuable divine wisdom is. That is to say, divine wisdom, the wisdom that comes from God. This wisdom that is speaking here, this wisdom that is speaking out, and she's true to her word. That's why we can call her wisdom. And our Father graciously, willingly, likes to share that wisdom. That's why in the first place he wrote this letter to us. That's why he intended that you absorb it, because within that comes the wisdom that was with him before anything ever was, before he took the form even that he is. Verse 24, when there were no depths, there's no abyss, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. In other words, before we had those, wisdom was there. Well, how could that be? Well, God had wisdom with him when he created those things. Wisdom made it possible. God's wisdom. Verse 25. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. I was with him before one stitch, before it ever happened. 26. Listen to me now. You got to hang on. This gets a little bit deep, but it's simple. While as yet he had not made the earth. I want you to grasp that the earth doesn't exist, you understand? While he had not yet made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, that means the first little atom had not been created of the earth. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's going to tell you what he did before. When he prepared the heavens, the heavens were before earth, okay, you got it? I was there when he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Now, I want you to know what a compass is. It's important that you know. God uses this. It has come up more times than one in Christianity, in the Old Testament. A compass, as it is written here, is a protractor, okay? It has a point on one end, and it has a pencil or something on the other end that will draw a perfect circle, okay? Put things in a perfect orbit. He's talking about the stars, the moon, the sun. And, you know, this same compass or protractor is the first words that Christ spoke personally to Paul. When he says, "Paul, Paul, why do you kick against the prick?" It means this point, sharp point of the compass. In other words, he was telling Paul, "I have a perfect plan, and you're trying to kick the prick whereby the circle becomes messed up. You're messing up my work." That hurt old Paul. But at the same time, there was another time that God would speak when he spoke to old Job before anything was, especially before this earth age. Old Job has listened for 38 chapters to a bunch of ratchet jaws that absolutely knew not one thing, thought they knew everything, thought what was happening to Job was because he was a sinner. It wasn't. It was because he was God's elect, and Satan wanted to destroy him. So there's a lesson in it for God's elect that you better know and understand. You better know who you should listen to. I'm just going to read just a little bit of that 38th chapter of Job, for it's a subject very near to what we're discussing here in Proverbs. Chapter 38, verse 1, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said," in other words, his vehicle was there, his altar was there, "Who is this that darkened counsel by words without knowledge?" Who are these stupid people you're talking to, you're listening to? Verse 3, "Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me." You girt yourself, that means get ready for action. That's, men wore skirts at this time, and you took the girt and put it down between your legs and tied it up where your legs were free, and you were ready to run or whatever it was to be done. God said, "I'm going to demand an answer." Verse 4, because he's listening to a bunch of idiots. Verse 4, and you know something? You'll hear a lot of preachers that will preach sermons from what those people were saying. Awesome, awesome. Verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding." Well, I could say the same thing. You answer it. Well, who knows? We know we were with him, that's for sure. "Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest?" Question. Or, "Who hath stretched the line upon it?" Who set the compass? Who put it in orbit? You know, even to this day, we can fire, because we have science and because we have the knowledge and wisdom of that circle. It is so accurate, that circle is that God put in motion, that we can fire a shot at the Mars and miss by only 30 miles. One spot on Mars. That's doing something, friend. Or we know where windows are, that if we want to join up with the space lab, exactly when a shuttle must go up within that window of opportunity of the circle. We have that wisdom. Awesome. That God had it long before we did, and we only scratched the surface compared to what he did. "Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened?" What holds the earth where it is? What makes it stay in that particular orbit? Question. Or, "Who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Question. You begin to realize how magnificent our Father is. Look at this earth as a planet. And know that he made a perfect thing until Satan rebelled. Verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together," this is his children, okay, "and all the sons of God shouted for joy." They were happy there and in that first earth age. And it was a blessing to God. "Or who shut up the sea with doors when it break forth as if it had issued out of the womb?" In other words, who did this? God did, of course. What God is saying, listen to me. Don't listen to a bunch of ratchet jaws. You'll have wisdom then. So we see that the sons of God were there. It's just like the stars themselves, wandering stars. God can name every one of them. It may not be the same name we call them, but God knows their names. And God knows every child every one of his children. And there's no gender in that. It's sons and daughters, okay? However, at that time there were no daughters, and now in the flesh there are both for the generations, be that as it may. Returning then, if we may, to the 8th chapter of Proverbs, and that gives you a little thought about this compass. When it says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth, verse 28 of the 8th Proverb, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, wisdom was there. By wisdom he prepared it. 29, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, and when he appointed them, they were exactly that way. And, you know, we know that there has been an overthrow. God makes that very clear. Okay? And there's great proof of it when you know where to look, even today. Verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. In other words, the very emotion of God was happiness because of wisdom, because of having everything as it should be. Verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, Eretz, and my delights were with the sons of men. That's to say, the word men here is Adam. I was there with them. This is what they were called even at that time. I was happy with them. They were happy. This was before that great overthrow and God creating this earth with the plates as they were at that time. They're not the same anymore. I'm going to tell you how one of the easy proofs that brings and breaks back the simplicity of time and emotion as God created this earth to be habited, not void and empty. When you go to the state park of Ash Fall in the great state of Nebraska, kind of in the central U.S. of A., do you know that you can find there many animals? There was a great, from the state of Idaho came a volcano eruption, and it covered many animals. The carnivore have not had the opportunity to destroy them or scatter the bones. They're all African, right in the center of America. There are 5 different types of horses. There are camel, that's to say zebras. There are camels. There are rhinoceroses, even to the point that you'll see a mother rhinoceros, and inside her rib cage will be the forming of a baby rhinoceros. All the birds, even the turtles, are African, meaning that these plates did shift. It is a trip that if you ever make one trip to discover artifacts and to understand how God shook this earth and how the plates did shift, and then many might understand how that if you put America, the Americas and Africa, the continents together, they kind of have the same shape. Then you know that how it must have hurt a father to have had a perfect circle, compass, and then have Satan upset it the way he did, whereby the catapult, the overthrow, had to take place. If you ever want to see a absolute results of the overthrow, go to Ash Fall State Park in Nebraska and witness it. We have a documentary made there that shows you in detail these things, but it's much better to even go there in person. If you ever go to a state park it's kind of out of the way, but it's well worth the trip. You want to go because it shows how God has change things, and many would say to the better, well, Satan caused it to be not the same wonderful place it was when the sons of God relaxed and rejoiced and were so happy. And you can see the results of that in Ash Falls, Nebraska. But there you have the lights and the children and the joy. And you see what happened. But it will return. God is still with us. We have nothing to be worried about, because you can possess wisdom if you'll search it out, if you'll seek it. And do you know something? Let me give you a little clue. True wisdom is to understand the simplistic way that God operates and has formed things, and the simple teachings of Jesus Christ, that is very natural when you follow it, to bring happiness and joy. Continuing then, let's go with the next verse, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. That's wisdom talking. You want to be blessed? Then gain wisdom. Listen to her when she calls out. Well, how does she call? Through the Word of God. Absolutely. Through the Word of God, you find wisdom whereby you can handle basically any situation, and that you can't handle, God will take care of it for you. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Don't you dare refuse instruction. Do you know what we call somebody that, well, let's let the Word tell us. Verse 34 reads, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. That's the very judgment seat itself. One that waits for wisdom. Don't be impatient. Learn wisdom and be blessed, watching daily, every day. Gain something and be happy with that. You know, a wise person will receive instruction. A fool will not. The fool won't receive instruction. They know everything. Nothing you can do about that. That's fine. But for yourself, receive that instructions, and what comes with it? Blessings. Blessings, and with wisdom, you are able to conquer the world. That is to say, in your own way and family, to be successful. Verse 35. For whoso findeth me findeth life. That's eternal life, beloved, not just in the flesh, but eternal, forever and ever and ever. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. Why? Because you pleasure Him. He receives pleasure from you. Why? Because you absorb His wisdom, the wisdom that comes from Him. And you receive that instruction, and you don't receive it and just lay it aside. You use it. You let it become a part of your life. Where did he say put it? In your mind. And let that wisdom settle there. Whereby, again, the Spirit, your Spirit, then intuitively is able to know right from wrong. Whereby you have the blessings of God. And let me tell you something. A lot of people don't even believe there is a God. But those of you that love Him and have received His blessings know very well there is. Because He blesses you, you find that peace of mind, you find happiness, and you know who to thank for it. But at the same time, you gain eternal life forever and ever. And let me tell you something. This world is a beautiful place. And this world will go back to the way it was. You know, there's an interesting thing back in the 26th verse that I did not call it to your attention, but I will now. That in that 26th verse, you have, while as yet He had not made the earth, the word in the Hebrew is erech. Okay. Hadn't even touched it, nor the fields, nor the highest part of dust of the world. The word world here is tebel. And it means a habitable world. To be habited, inhabited. And our Father is so complete. And it's going to go back to that way. Verse 36 to complete the chapter. But he that sinneth against me, against wisdom, wrongeth his own soul, not somebody else's, wrongeth his own soul, all they that hate me love death. In other words, that's where they're going. And this is not just death of the flesh. It's the second death, which means also death of the soul. Many might say, well, I've never heard of that before. Well, then you've never read Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, have you? For there it's very well written words of Christ. Fear not those that can kill the flesh body, but he, Almighty God, who can destroy both the flesh body and your soul, cause it to perish, to die. That's what the lake of fire is all about. So, what a beautiful chapter, this chapter 8 of Proverbs. Wisdom speaks. And you will never find a chapter that covers the formation of the world, how God did it. And that is to say, for you to think about, to meditate upon. And not only the earth, but the very heavens themselves, the stars, the Milky Way, the moon, all those things. He said, we're, in other words, who should you listen to? Remember what his words were to Job. He said, you listen to these people that absolutely have no knowledge instead of me? So why would you listen to somebody that doesn't teach God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you can gain wisdom instead of having a one verse revolving rev, evangelistic exempt, and call themselves teachers? They're not. They're not teachers of God's word anyway. They're teachers of their own philosophy. And philosophy and tradition sometimes can harm the very word of God. So there you have it. And what a beautiful thing it is that our Father brings forth. Chapter 9, verse 1, subject continues. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Seven is spiritual completeness. What kind of house does wisdom dwell in? I want to take you, if I may, to the great book of Revelation. I want to go to chapter 3 of the great book of Revelation concerning the church of Philadelphia. You that have the key of David, you that have the truth that no man can, that you can open and no man can shut, that know who those are that claim to be of our brother Judah, but are Kenites, sons of Satan. You know the difference. He says here in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogues of Satan, which is, well, let's read verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, that's wisdom, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. What hour of temptation? The hour of the Antichrist. We do not find him tempting. We find him to be an abomination. For the hour of from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all, not part, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth, to test them out. What you got, okay? You've studied God's word, you know the truth, or are you going to be deceived? Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't be deceived. Here's why we came here. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. That's wisdom's house. How would you like to be one of those pillars? The seven should have perked your mind, the 7,000 that will not bow a knee to Baals, which simply means spiritual completeness. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, in the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So there you have it. You have that opportunity to be one of those pillars of wisdom. That's an awesome thought when you get right down where the rubber meets the road and realize you could have a destiny. Many of you have known there was more to God's word than you'd been taught, and that wisdom was speaking to you, as she always speaks from the word of God. She's building this house. It's called the house of the many-membered body. And those pillars at this time are earning. Why? Because they accept wisdom. They receive instruction from the world, not from God's Word. From our Father Himself, they receive that wisdom. And so it is. Verse 2, she hath killed her beast, she hath mingled her wine. That means she's not that she adulterated it, but that she even added a little special flavor. She hath also furnished her table. Now, what this is wisdom in contrast or comparison to the old harlot we were covering in the last chapter that prepared a table and a bed. The question is, which banquet are you going to? Which banquet are you going to participate in? You want to go to that one that has the way of the world? She's called Sister Babylon. Or are you going to go to be a pillar in the very house where a great meal is prepared? It's the wine and the bread, which is our Passover, which Christ became. Which table do you want to go to? Which table do you wish to participate from? I would think that if you love wisdom, she loves you. That's a true saying. And she will take care of you. It is within her power. It is within her right, wisdom, to progress you, to bless you, and to help you. Wisdom will do that. That's why it's so precious. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than silver. More precious than rubies. Wisdom will always, always bring you to that table from which all blessings flow. We'll pick this up in the next lecture. What a comparison. You know, I don't think a person should even intuitively have to depend upon discretion to know the difference. I would think that you would know without even thinking about it, and I suppose that's what intuitively means. This is the meal we want to partake of. This is the banquet that we want to be invited to. Wisdom's banquet, the table of our Lord. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please? Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secrets, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them. And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That telephone number good from throughout from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S. of A., Hawaii, all over Canada. The spirit moves and you have a question, you call us. Once you do that, share that question. And please never ask a question about a particular reverend, religion, denomination, or organization. Why? We don't judge people. It's not our right to judge people. God's Word and wisdom do the judging. It's always at the gates that is right. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request? You don't need that number, and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. He does. Want you're his child. And he's the heart knower. And just talk to him. But most of all, let him know you love him. You know, prayer is simply to level with him and say, Father, I love you. I have, and when you don't write out some long dissertation, you say, I got a problem. He's real intelligent, you know, he catches on quick. He knows what you're thinking before you even say it. So let him know you love him. That's the most important thing. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch. In Yeshua's precious name, amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Nadine from Oklahoma. Our handicapped daughter asked me, wonder what Daddy's doing. He passed away on March the 8th. I told her he was resting in Yahweh's awesome place, peace and love. We've studied with you for a good 15 years. Is it written exactly what they're doing? I don't believe I've read anything except God is putting an army in heaven together. Well, that's true. I'm so thankful we found God from His Word through, taught by you. Well, God bless you. I appreciate that, Nadine. We know from the 16th chapter of the great book of Luke that they're embracing, and they have that love and understanding and that peace, and they have that fellowship. When one is in the spiritual body, they don't have to be taught the Word because they know the Word. But that army does teach discipline, though. And that's where he is, and you answered her real well, and our regards and prayers go out to you and to that little daughter. We thank you for that. Dolores from West Virginia. I ordered Smith's Bible Dictionary from you. Why isn't the word tribulation or the millennium not in there? Well, because they're not in the Bible, okay? Now, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit you'll find in the Word of God. You will find that when Jesus was conceived, it was instructed that he would be named Emmanuel, God with us. And we are told in St. John chapter 14 that in our Father's house, Jesus would say, there are many mansions. That word is bundi in the Hebrew Greek. And it means a resting place. Not some big house. It means a resting place. That's all it means. And then mono, the word abide. When we abide in the Father and the Son, we come into that same resting place. So there you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that being the Godhead in the dimensions necessary to teach man in their proper and perspective dimensions. Okay, and the millennium itself you will find mentioned in, I can think of one thing. We read it in the last lecture, 2 Peter, or that was a Sunday service, I should say, this weekend service. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one of the Lord's days is 1,000 years of man's day. That's a millennium. Okay. And you will also, when you go to Revelation chapter 20, you will find 1,000-year period. That's the Lord's day. That is one day with the Lord. So the millennium is written, but not the very word itself, millennium. It's simply 1,000 years in God's Word, okay? Jane from, naturally, the triune Godhead is one. We only have one God. Don't ever let someone tell you we have three different gods. That's sacrilegious. Jane from Indiana, of what people were the European crusaders? Christian crusaders, okay? They were made up of the 10 tribes that went north over the Caucasus Mountains. Tom from North Carolina. I would like to know, is it a sin to pray for the same thing over and over again? Thank you, Tom from North Carolina. Now, you can continue asking for the same thing. The only time it's a sin is when you chant. Okay. You start chanting, and pretty soon you get the flesh into the prayer. He didn't like that. If you're going to talk to the Father, don't go into these chants and so forth. Okay, that's a no-no. It's repetitious to the point. It's not your mind asking necessarily, but pretty soon you get your body into it. Okay. But if, for example, if you ask every day, fine, that's good. As a matter of fact, there is a parable that finally a judge gave a woman what she was asking for when he didn't really want to, because she was bothering him. She kept asking over and over and over, and finally he said, let her have it. So, you know, and our Father gives that example that, yeah, continue asking. Make sure you know he knows you love him, all right? That cuts a lot of slack when you're talking to our Father. Mark from Wisconsin, can you explain the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 18? Does Christ return in these verses after the two witnesses are slain? Yes, it is. 3 days later, 3.5 days later, okay? And what is meant by the dead in Christ will rise first? Will we be physically brought up in the air? The word air, as it is utilized, you'll find it 109 in your Greek dictionary, and it means the double air that you breathe, the breath of life body, meaning your spiritual body, okay? You instantly are changed into a spiritual body. We shed the flesh. We get rid of it. And what does it mean that those that sleep in Christ shall rise first? Why? Because they're not out here in the hole in the ground. When they die, ere the silver cord parts, as it is written in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, instantly the spirit, which is the intellect of the soul, meaning the soul, returns to the Father that gave it. No messing around. So that's why we can't precede them, because they're already out of here. They're gone first. We're still here, but they're gone. They're with Him. Thank God. Praise God. Okay, hope that helps you. Dorothy from Tennessee. I want to know, why do airplanes fly up in heaven put out smoke? What is it? I asked my Bible study teacher, and she said, God makes the clouds. I know God makes the clouds. I want to know why the airplanes up there make smoke. Well, darling, it's not smoke. Okay. It's called a vapor trail. In other words, with their speed, and there is vapor in the air, and it forms the vapor, which in a sense you can call it a cloud, because the cloud is vapor. Okay. If your Sunday school teacher was a little closer than maybe you thought. But it is their speed and the disturbance of that air and the moisture in it that... check out the word vapor in your dictionary, and you'll better understand. Okay, it is not smoke. It is not harmful. It does not hurt our atmosphere, and it's simply vapor because of the disturbed air. I'm a Gene from Georgia. As I study if it's safe to believe that if I study my Father's Word and no one else does, that means even if I pass away before the tribulations, first at Satan, and second my Father, will I be on the right side of the gulf? Of course you will. If you're studying the Word and you love the Father, that's important. Just to let Him know you love Him and ask Him to that you believe upon the Son. You know that Christ died on the cross for us, and with that comes salvation. I would be so sad if I went home and couldn't be with my Father and the ones that made it. Well, you don't have anything to worry about. You keep that Word in your heart and mind, and you'll do just fine even if you go before. Passing away before the false Messiah appears doesn't hurt anyone, okay? You're still going to go to the Father. And of course, what is written in the Book of Life determines which side of that gulf we go on. Michael from New Mexico, and I hasten to add, you're doing what's right. You hang with it. Michael from New Mexico, what did Jesus mean when he said, who is my brother or who is my sister? So he meant when they told him his mother and brother were there, he was Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Father of all people. So why would he not say, if you were had wisdom, who would you call his brother and his sister? Everyone. Okay. Now, this does not have anything to do with whether one believes or doesn't believe. They're still children of God. But they are called children of Satan if they go too far the other way, or children of Belial. So, but that's why he would say it. He was, in that sense, he was Savior, but he was Emmanuel, God with us, Father of all. Okay. Wallace from D.C. And, okay, thank you. Do you think, I'm thanking you for your question. Do you think Dr. Luke knew how to keep the body in balance and alignment, or did he stuff his patients with drugs that may have temporarily relieved symptoms, only create other symptoms in the process? I think he kept everything plumb, square, and level. Okay, he was a servant of God, and he knew alignments are very important, and to get out of alignment is not a good thing. Simplify, and to an old Navy buddy, we'll thank you for your letter. Ken from Texas. Before the false Christ, will there be a man Antichrist to prepare the way for the false one? Now, there already is, in a sense, but I think there will be a specific person. They try this every so often with Maitreya and a few other things, but we will have the fake of fakes. But we watch for the fake one himself and not be just pulled off to one side, okay? And how can you identify a Kenite person? Just to leave them alone, okay? That's what they're the tares mentioned by Jesus in Matthew chapter 13. You're to leave them alone. The angels will take care of them at the end of the millennium. Okay? And if they should choose to be a child of God rather than someone else by that time, then they become children of God. That's it. Okay. Donald from Virginia. According to the Bible, laying up your treasure in heaven and not here on earth, where rust and moth and thieves destroy and steal, of course, would be the best investment in return of your money. However, does God promote the investment of worldly assets into commodities such as gold or silver or other commodities? Well, you know, if there's nothing wrong with investments, is legal, but you won't always know what you're doing. When you mention commodities, you're talking about a very critical thing. And if you don't know what you're doing, you can get your lunch eaten pretty quick in commodities. And I'm speaking of overall and in general. Always, it's best, and I'm not giving any legal advice here, but you always want to be diversified. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if you drop that basket, it'll bust every one of them. And guess what? They're gone. So you use wisdom and let wisdom help you with that. When you have a person that would say, I can play any game that you can name with any man from any land, you've got quite a bit of knowledge of games of the world. But if you don't know what a game is, don't play it. Okay. I have a saying that's my own. And that is, I don't mind wading in, but I'm going to know pretty well I'm not going in over my ankles when I step into the pond, okay? When I wade into something, I know I'm not going in over my head, okay? So, and you want to be that sure of yourself, and that way you'll always do pretty good. A redhead Irish lady, Georgia from Virginia, 89 years old. Well, bless your heart. Where is the scripture that states that the spirits from the first earth age needs to be born of woman before Christ returns. Well, you find it in the books of Ezra in the Apocrypha, but it's also in the New Testament. In John chapter 3, verse 7, it's written very clearly there. Christ says, "You must be born again," is what it's translated to. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, "You must be born from above." And all must be born from above, meaning every last one of them. And we feel that because of the days of Daniel, the organization of Israel as a nation in the year of our Lord, 1948, that's A.D. 1948, I will hasten to add, so that I don't confuse somebody, then that was to be the last generation, the final, that all things would come to pass in that generation of the fig tree. And we're knocking along pretty good at it. So there it is. But we must all, as it is written in John 3, verse 7, Christ's words, "You must be born from above," meaning everyone that is above has got to be born through the flesh. Well, God doesn't play favorites. When he does for one, he does for all, unless it happens to be an archangel. Priscina, what a pretty name, Priscina from Illinois. "Pastor Murray, please tell me who the spirits were that Christ preached to in 1 Peter 4:19 and why. I love your teachings and your clear explanations. You are the best Bible teacher that I have. My pastor talks in circles and can't explain this to me. I don't think he really knows. Help us and thank you very much." Well, it's really, all you have to do is, I hope your pastor maybe can read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, and it tells you there who it was he preached to. He went all the way back to the time of Noah, and it's a very simple thing. It's the fairness of God. The people that died before the crucifixion took place did not have the privilege of salvation except by the law. And that was a pretty tough old cookie to cut, all right, without breaking one of them. So what he did, because we that are come after have the privilege of salvation and repentance to have sins forgiven, which they did not, then in all fairness, he went all the way back to the beginning, everyone that was in paradise, and taught them and gave them the opportunity to believe upon him. That's in chapter 3. In chapter 4, where you're talking about, those are the ones that, I mean, they accepted, and many of them were freed because they believed. The Old Testament documents Messiah. You know, there's no great step in that. Isaiah chapter 7, "A virgin shall conceive, will have a child, you will name him Emmanuel." Okay. And Psalms 22, "They will crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. They will nail him to the cross. The Roman soldiers will gamble for his clothing." This is Old Testament. "His arms will be jerked from socket because of nails to the cross." That's Old Testament. So the Old Testament declares salvation, and so it is. But he went back and he freed those people because they recognized, yes, Messiah did come after they had passed away, and yes, they believed, and yes, they were saved, okay? It's just God's fairness, that if he does want it for one, he'll do it for all, okay? Marilyn from California, "I love your Bible teaching. Thank you. I have a dispute about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The person I was speaking to said, show him in the Bible where Cain is not Adam's biological son. He knows it all, he thinks. Please explain again." Well, then let him explain to you why Cain isn't in Adam's genealogy. Cain's genealogy is given separate from Adam's genealogy in chapter 4 in the book of Genesis. And in the closing verses of 4 and 5 begins Adam's genealogy. You will not find Cain there, because Cain was not Adam's son. Okay. You can read the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 and find out who Cain's father was. You can also read St. John chapter 8, verse 44 and verses following and find out who the first murderer's father was. Well, now let me think a minute. Who was the first murderer? Well, it was Cain. You can find out who his father was in St. John chapter 8. It's calling him the devil. Okay, Charles from Pennsylvania, you mentioned the time when politicians would act like children. Where does the Bible say this? Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. He said, in the last days your princes are going to be children, and I'm going to have babes rule. That means as presidents and as senators and so forth, that they have the minds of children. Even, unfortunately, it gets all the way down to babies. Okay, you got a lot of baby talk goes on, too, I'll tell you for sure. It's too bad we don't have a little maturity whereby we're not in this situation we're in today of fuel shortages. Oh, you know, we've got it. Why should we buy it from somewhere? I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot. Why? Because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. He sure does, and that's where that wisdom comes into your life. Make God's day. He'll make yours. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that,